Welcome to the Kentucky State Police Podcast. I'm Trooper Corey King, and this is where we go beyond the flashing lights and headlines to talk about the people behind the badge. Every trooper has a story. Why they chose this career, what keeps them going, and what service really looks like on the toughest days. Here we will have real conversations about public safety, community, and the human side of law enforcement. So we're glad you're here. Today we are sitting down with a guest who is an absolute staple of the Richmond, Eastern Kentucky communities. If you have ever scrolled through any social media platforms over the past several 3 years or so, you've likely seen his witty, humanizing approach to public safety. He spent years as a trusted face and voice of KSP Post 7 Richmond and recently stepped into a massive new role as captain of Post 11 in London. But the greater Richmond area, he's also known as a small business owner, bee enthusiast, and a champion for community kindness. Please welcome to the podcast, Captain Robert Purdy. Captain, thanks for being here.
Hey, Corey, thanks for having me.
So, you and I have known each other for some years now, worked together in different roles, I guess you'd say. For those who don't know you, share with us your background, meaning where you're originally from, where or how did you get to this point in your life, and where you are today?
Sure. So, I'm not from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. My dad was an airline pilot, and so we lived all over the United States. For about a six-year period in middle school and early high school, I lived just outside of Franklin, Tennessee, and kind of developed a love for this area. And we moved to Texas, and I hated it. And I went to college at Murray State University.
Yes, and, go Racers.
And while I was there, I did an internship with Post One Mayfield. One of our majors, actually, now, he was there as the detective sergeant, and he talked me into putting in an application for one of the KSB classes. I think it was class maybe 82. And I was still in school, and I said, I can't do that. And so then I reapplied for cadet class 84 and got hired.
What year was this?
That was, I got hired in 2005, July 17th, 2005. That's the day we all arrived. They sent me to Richmond, and Richmond has become home. So that's where I spent most of my career, with stints in several different specialized positions, different branches within the agency, and currently working out of London. I think you spoke to Scotty Pennington.
I did. We did.
Yeah. He's our PAO down there, and he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, we love Scotty. Of course, you two are probably, I would say, the most known persons in KSP history. Really, if you look at it, if you think about just the social media amount you guys have really put out there, it's been quite significant. And I know we're going to touch a little bit, probably more than a little bit, about the notorious videos that has really shaped KSP history. And basically, you were the editor and the mind behind all that. I thought you was crazy initially. Now, I'll say, when we were at the state fair, and of course, people who may not know, Kentucky State Police has been involved in the state fair since 1961, I think. And it started out with these little pedal cars that we had called Safety Town. Safety Town, to this day, still exists. The bikes might change a little bit, but the people are the same. The concept is the same. And it's a great way to broker that relationship with the public. Now they have that ability to talk to us, because most generally they see us on the side of the road with a campaign hat on and looking like a statue handing out a citation to somebody or a warning, something like that. This is that ability for them to talk to them, and the kids get to see that, and you get to really garnish that moment with them. And so that's where I think those who don't know what we do, typically we are there for two solid weeks. We have to set this Safety Town up. This driving course is probably, the footprint's what, 100 foot by 120 feet, something like that.
And it may be bigger than that. It's a big space.
That's just the driving pad. Yeah. And then you have the trailers all around, which we work. So we're there literally every day mm-hmm. for two solid weeks. A really tough detail in a lot of ways. But there's one day I recall, had no idea how this started, but you come to me, and I don't even know, why did you choose me to go with you on these?
Well, I knew that you were a well-respected public affairs officer, and I thought,
which is strange.
If we're going to do this, I probably need to get Corey on board. I didn't want to get fired. Like that's about it.
That's what kept my sanity, is like, I know that if they got mad at anything we did, it wasn't my social media. It was you.
Sure. It's a point. It was a lot of work. But yeah, you talk about Safety Town. That is a cool place. It's a cool opportunity. You get to come across thousands of children and share a safety message. And I think probably one of the most telling things are, I don't want to use the word old, but there are people who are probably in their 60s who would come up and say, hey, I remember coming here as a kid. I still have the driver's license that they gave me when I was at Safety Town. And that is neat, just the impact and the amount of people who have been touched and through that. I mean, we talk about
tradition.
And stop signs and everything else. Yeah, it is so good.
So is that where you initially had this concept to promote either the state fair in general or Safety Town or a combination of all that? Because you'd mentioned, yes, I wouldn't consider myself an introvert, but here's the thing. I was born probably 40 years too late, about 1,800 miles too far east. I'm probably really, the inside of me is probably an 80-year-old man who's living in Jackson Hole, Wyoming or something, right? So social media is not a big concept to me. Don't like it. So I was very, very, and I guess you picked up on it, that so the listeners who may be aware, several years ago, we did 2 or 3 years of these videos every day.
Every day. At the state fair. Oh, man, it was exhausting.
It was, because it was, and that's where it goes to your genius mind when you started to think, how do I lure someone in, but yet turn it into a message? And you knew that this could not be scripted. And I tell you, the listener right now, this is where he comes to me every day, grabs me by the arm, says, follow me. That's all I knew. And you know that I knew a video was coming. You were going to film something. Yep. But I had no clue what was about to happen. And I can tell you guys, knowing how we're judged and knowing that we had these certain decorum we have to go by of sorts, when you blindfolded me and putting me up on top of a big old Ferris wheel of some sort, I think is what it was. Okay. I was blindfolded. But you gave me ice cream on top of that. Do you remember that?
Were you blindfolded, or did we have solar?
It was a solar.
Solar glasses. Solar glasses. It was the day before the solar event of 2017.
And that ice cream dripped all over me. Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
You know, it's kind of going back to, I knew you well enough. You like to have a really good plan of what you're going to do and what you're going to talk about. And I knew I could not give Corey any insight of what it was. Otherwise, like, you would come up with the perfect script. The way that you talk and you share information is something that I can't do. But I knew it had to be fly. It had to be unscripted because that's what's real.
So
you know, I think that if you can just have those normal conversations, that's what people draw into and they can relate with. And what I wanted to do, though, was have a safety message with every single one of them, right? It had to have a safety message tied in.
That was the goal, the safety message.
It was. Yeah. And there were some troopers out of Kansas at the time that were doing some things. There were some troopers out of Illinois that were doing some things. And I saw them going to the state fair and, you know, riding the slide or doing some other exhibit. And I thought, oh, we can do that. And I never knew where it was going to go and the traction that it got, good and bad. It was actually, probably up until 3 or 4 years ago, I was in Louisville getting a cup of coffee at a coffee shop, and I was not in uniform, no kidding. And this guy behind me said, hey, are you a trooper? And I said, I am. And he said, Purdy? And I said, I am. Oh, man, I used to watch your videos all the time, man. Those were awesome. And I thought, and it's those kind of interactions. I thought, man, people actually watched and they paid attention, and
It went literally coast to coast. It just took off because it was so unique how you edited, how you made it turn into a safety message, but yet entertaining all in one level. And to put my name with entertaining does not go together.
Right? Oh, you're very entertaining.
And so that, to me, it scared the heck out of me every single day. I was like, oh, God, I worried about what you was going to do.
It worried me too. And a lot of times I wouldn't know what we were going to do until that day or the half hour before. But it was a lot of work because after we would film, what people didn't see is I'd have to, we'd leave during the shift or come in before the shift, because you and I work different shifts.
Yeah.
Film it, edit it that night, put it all together and then launch it. And so it was a lot of work, but you know, some of them were good, some weren't, and I'll be the first to admit it. You know, I was probably pushing the boundaries a little bit too much. Hopefully, you know, pushed them, but then it hopefully moved our agency forward and some of our message sharing.
That was the busiest I've ever been at a fair. We were having people come, other of these troopers you've mentioned from other states, come to the fair just because of those videos, to either, you know, have pictures made.
We had a donut burger with John Prine from Indiana State Police. Right. And that was a lot of fun.
Fantastic fella.
But, you know, that's only, you know, that comes up in conversation a whole lot. And I get judged, or people think that that's how I am because that was how I was for 10 days a year or 11 days for 2 years. That's all we did. But we still shared positive messages other ways. I mean, there was one day I know it was snowing, roads were shut down. I got out, I drove. I did a little video in my cruiser talking about the roadway conditions and how to drive safe. And NBC, I think, picked it up, the evening news with Lester Holt. And my family in Oregon called them, like, we just saw you on the national news. And so it's really cool how you know, sure, we did some state fair stuff, but it also, you know, most of the stuff that we did and we shared was, you know, safety messages that needed to be shared. And because of that interaction that we were able to have, I think people saw, hey, these are some real guys, just some normal dudes that have a job where they get to help people. And you know, we got to highlight some of the neat things that go on at the fair, and hopefully, you know, people got to see that we can still get out and have a good time.
Yeah, and I think really the one that really started it, if I can recall, we were on some little spinny thing.
Yeah, the zipper.
It is about
or scrambler.
Scrambler. Scrambler.
Uh-huh.
And that was probably the most purdy ever had on me. It threw you into me.
It did.
Because you weren't wearing your seatbelt or something. We was talking about seatbelt.
Yeah, we were talking about being buckled up, and I knew better. I knew better than to. You're bigger than I am. I knew better than to than to sit on the outside. But yeah, that was one. And we, I don't think we did any live videos after that. That was the first one. It was live. It was catchy. I think we made the Louisville news.
That's where it took off.
And you know, now on this side of my career, like I mentioned, I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert who appreciates the wearing of the campaign hat and the professionalism of the uniform. We didn't have our hats on the scrambler, and I think that was probably one of the biggest takeaways that we heard was how we were outside and didn't have our campaign hat on. But
how do you do it with a scrambler?
It's
not possible.
I don't know, but it was. It was a seatbelt safety message. I think we were in, going into Drive Saver, Sober, Polo, Get Pulled Over, the Click It or Ticket campaign. Like, we tried to use NHTSA campaigns as kind of the catalyst for sharing these safety messages as well.
Yeah, and you know, before we end on that note, there was one video that I had no idea why it didn't make the cut. It was one that probably I hated you the most at that moment.
I think I know
the
exactly.
The slingshot.
Yeah, I still have that video on my phone.
You put me on the slingshot, and you taped the phone hand.
Yeah, I don't know that we're at a point where we can show it, but if it ever comes up, you know, you're welcome to it, and you can have a throwback of 6, 7, 8 years. You can have it. And,
so why didn't that make the cut? That was a funny. Was there not a message or
no? There was a message. Or? No, there was a message. Okay. I just think it was. It was a little
pushing the line, pushing a little the envelope, bit, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But I mean, realistically, and I, like I said, being on this side, I can appreciate that, and I can understand people's concern over it. But we had some great experiences. I think through that, some people saw us on Twitter. They tweeted at the Oak Ridge Boys,
right?
So I tweeted with them and messaged them, and we got invited to come meet them on the tour bus before the show, and got invited to sing Elvira on stage.
Giddy up, boom, bop, boom, bop, a mile, mile.
Nailed it. and so even in that, you know, you and I were invited, and I remember we called multiple other troopers, like, hey, because we didn't want to get fired.
It was, yeah. it was
hey,
preservation.
Why don't you come join us? But that was really cool. The lead singer, who has now passed away, I remember he was up on stage and he was talking about how they appreciate everybody in uniform, doesn't matter what color uniform. And we walked out, and thousands of people stood up. And whenever I walked out, I was like, oh, man, I think I may throw up. But it was so much fun. I mean, I went to karaoke before a couple days before that just to try to sing.
Yeah,
so
you,
I could knew
called me to come with
what,
you, yeah.
what we would be doing. But that was probably one of the coolest experiences that just happened.
And it happened all because of that. So that's what's unique about social media. Even though I'm not a huge social media fan, not only did it get the message to the people that needed it to hear it, the consumer of that message, but also it got the big affiliates, the news affiliates. That's how probably likely NBC was to hit some of your stuff. They started following you. They're starting to see your feed a little bit more. And so it has a unique concept with law enforcement.
It does.
That was neat.
And not doing anything on social media anymore is kind of been a step back. It's kind of been refreshing not to have to deal with it. There are times that I want to share some things, but being a road trooper to work in recruitment, back to the road to public affairs. I also spent 6 years on our State Police Honor Guard, which was an incredibly humbling opportunity to be able to hear stories there at the casket of our fallen or our troopers who served back in the day, and now they're passed away, and frankly we get to do the last detail with them. And then supervision, I don't touch social media much anymore, and it's okay. It's probably less stress not having to come up with what we're going to say. But we've kudos to y'all in public affairs who are doing it. I know Trooper Washer, I watch a lot of his stuff. He pulled me in a couple weeks ago with a video. They're running some speed detail or something, mm-hmm. and I spent 15 minutes of my day after work watching him, and I thought, man, this is cool. Like, he's doing the stuff that, some of the ideas that I had, and it's neat to see it continue.
And you say better, stories. Meaning he doesn't push the envelope quite like you did, editing is better.
Like, I think he does a great job of editing. He's an incredible storyteller. He's a really good interviewer, makes people feel comfortable. Jumping in the cruiser like he does and just doing these ride-alongs brings the public and is able to show them what we do like on a daily basis and invite them in. And he caught me hook, line, and sinker. I love seeing his stuff. And so it really is neat getting to see how social media has continued, how it's transformed, and our guys who are continuing to push that forward to share a good positive message for the agency.
So you worked your way up. Here you are as captain. Considering your position now,
sure.
as captain, has your perspective changed any at all since those earlier Robert Purdy days?
I don't know that it's changed. I think that in leadership, it's about understanding that different people have different skills, gifts, and abilities. How are they going to use it to the betterment of our community, for the betterment of our agency? I think that my experiences as a trooper and the different roles that I've been in, I know in supervision we're there to help our units along the way and help them make good decisions, help them find their why, help them impact the public. And that's been great. Getting to lead and meet so many people. Now as a post commander, I wanted to go into law enforcement because I didn't want an office job. And there are days that I'll call up some units and I'll say, hey, let's go road check. And we'll get out and we'll road check. Back when it was snowing, Trooper Pennington, he was going to do a safety video. And so I took some footage, I interviewed him, I spliced it together, then I sent it to him for him to release. And so it was kind of a fun opportunity for me to get back in. And it's neat. And hopefully there's going to continue to be public affairs officers who are unique, who find their why, who find their gifts and their talents and their abilities, and be able to share a good positive message. Because honestly, the job that we do is awesome. It's hard, but it's awesome. And we have to have good storytellers to tell the narrative of what we really do and why we do it. Otherwise, nobody's going to tell it for us.
That's how you bridge the gap. Yeah. You know, us talking about those videos and you pulling me in, and I just look at it, quite frankly, as torment to me. you did that. You pulled me in and put a video, put me in some very peculiar. You remember the ice cream that got all over my uniform?
You know,
that was embarrassing. That was straight out embarrassing, Robert. And you know that was going to come back to roost at some point, right? You're on my podcast, right?
I am on your podcast, yeah. All
right. So, you know, here's what we're going to do, Robert. We'll finalize this. We're going to do some rapid-fire questions for you. Now, there's no right or wrong answers. It could be yes, no, maybe so. It could be just Robert's answers. Doesn't matter, but you got to answer it within seconds.
Could you send this to me ahead of time that way I could come up with a good script?
Oh, you didn't do that to me for me, buddy. It's kind of like a family feud of sorts.
Okay.
So we'll see what your answers are.
Hey, I'm excited.
It's just a combative
and
questions.
Nervous.
Now you know how I felt. Okay, so here we go in the rapid fire questions to Captain Robert Purdy. Okay, at what rank do you officially stop answering texts from old coworkers?
From old coworkers?
Yeah. Don't answer mine.
I don't. When's the last time you texted me?
I use a lieutenant. So was I
really?
Go lieutenant with that question.
Yeah. I don't know. Dude, I'm sorry if I didn't answer your text. Please text me. We've texted this week, so maybe it didn't work out
as
lieutenant.
Yeah, because you knew he was coming to this.
No excuse, but text me again.
Love is still there. I know.
Next time you come to Madison County, holler at me.
Deal. Do captains still get funnel cake at the state fair, or is that beneath you now?
You know, I have not been to the state fair as a captain. Maybe this year I can show up and we'll see.
Funnel cake?
I didn't. I'm not a big funnel cake. The donut burgers were surprisingly good. Very calorie rich, but they were fantastic.
That's a good way of putting it.
I probably would not turn down a donut burger.
Oh, very well.
I may not film it and put it on social media again.
Like we did. Yeah. Now, do your new troopers know that you used to be State Fair famous?
You know, I don't know if the new ones do or not. That was 6 years ago. You know, some of these guys were getting out. They're coming out, and they're 22. They were, you know, in middle school probably at the time that we were doing this. That makes me feel old, but it has been a minute, and it's not something that I publicize. I've left that lifestyle behind.
Love it. How nervous was your captain every time you uploaded a new video?
You know, one of the captains that I had, he's a good friend of mine. He called the then captain over public affairs and said, when Robert is at the fair, does he report to me or to you? And I think it became clear that it falls under the public affairs realm. And so he didn't say much. I think he probably cringed a time or two when some of them were released.
I know that to be fact. Yeah, I was with you. So how many meetings started with now about that state fair video?
There's probably three.
Three?
Yeah, not a whole lot. There was one in particular that... I was asked not to do a certain thing, and for whatever reason, I forgot about that certain thing, and then I kind of did it, and that one got brought to my attention.
So you see it differently now in your position,
I do. Okay. And maybe I didn't. But I think that at the end of the day, and everybody or most people knew that, hey, I was trying to do it for a certain reason, and my gauge of am I really pushing the boundaries were. Do the troopers at my post, that really know me, do they think that I'm out of control? And they didn't. Those that just saw that one side of me, they thought, man, this guy, he's
off
the
rocker. Know you,
Yeah, the ones that knew me, they thought they were fine, and they appreciated the connections and the community involvement that we had on a daily basis. It wasn't just the state fair, but I showed up every day ready to work and ready to make a difference. So try to think outside the box.
Very well. Okay, so looking back specifically at those videos, were we building community relations or creating HR nightmares?
I think community relations.
Okay. Was there ever a moment when you thought, yep, this one's ending my career?
Yes.
Okay. On a scale from community engagement to career-ending event, where would you rate these videos now?
You know, I think I would still fall back on the engagement, the community engagement, the comments, the shares, the sharing of just two guys that have got an incredible job, that are normally stoic on 355 other days of the year, getting to see us for 2 minutes or less on a state fair ride
with a safety message
at some place, sharing some kind of, you know, safety message. There was one that we filmed And I won't forget this. It was probably the best one that we did, honestly. But we were behind the south wing of the state fair, and we were talking about five ways not to meet a state trooper.
Yeah.
And that one, we weren't crazy. We didn't do anything. We weren't on a ride. We were just talking about wearing your seatbelt, not driving distracted, following the speed limit on the sign, a couple other ones, and that one was probably one of the best ones that we did.
Yeah, and I didn't realize I gave you a gift there at the end. You had the camera attached to the mirror of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And it was over. The filming that I thought was over, but I knew the camera was still running, so I think I had some ice cream or something you gave me during that moment, and I just did this silly...
Did you eat a lot of ice cream? Like, this is what you're...
You're the one that did
it. I can only remember the two. One where I stopped you, and we talked about keep your hands on the steering wheel, rolling down the windows, turn the light on at night if you're pulled over. But this one we didn't
shove that ice cream in my face.
That was a different.
You used it. I didn't know.
That was funny.
That was terrible. Thank you for that.
Appreciate the blooper reel.
Yeah,
I still have all of these on my phone. I've kept them over the years, and it's really funny because I've got two young girls now. They're 12 and 9, and I get to go, hey, let me show you some of these things that I used to do, and they it blows their mind like that was you, and because they know the stoic professional me, and they're not aware of those 10 days.
That was such a fun time. So what's funnier now to you, the videos themselves or how seriously people took them?
It could be either one. I don't know. There were, like I said, there were some folks that didn't appreciate them. And like I said, I can understand that. Some of them I watch now and I cringe. Like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Can't believe Corey made me do that is what I meant. You are retiring this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a lot of learning, a lot of growth. We were pushing the boundaries and there wasn't a roadmap for us. And we got to hopefully make a difference, draw people in and share a good safety message.
Well, you know, of all the years, even though in those moments I hated doing it, I would look around my shoulder all the time looking for you, thinking, God, I hope I don't see him coming.
Yeah.
And here you come.
I'd have to find
you. In those moments,
you
did. You would push me, but I can tell you, of those 26 years and looking back and near retirement, that's probably the highlight. And I thank you for that. So I appreciate that. It meant a lot.
Thanks for taking the journey with me.
Yeah, I certainly get to know you. It really was one of those things that I will carry with me. I don't have those videos to this day. I still have it all up here, just knowing how that feeling was and what an impact it made. Because I can resonate with some of the things you talk about, people recognizing you, things like that.
Sure.
And, you're like, wow, it really touched more people than I thought.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't have any idea of the impact it was going to make. You know, some of them were good, some weren't good. Some of them got a lot of views, some didn't. But at the end of the day, I didn't want people to see Trooper Corey King or Robert Purdy. I wanted them to see the Kentucky State Police as a whole, that were real people with a cool job that gets up every day with the mission to make a difference and an impact and just share that side that most people don't get to see. But, you know, a lot of that, like I said, having my personality and I think having your personality, like, that's not us. Like, that was a social media thing for... Yeah. 10 days a year for 2 years. I think that's all that we did it. Mm-hmm. And
it worked.
Yeah, it was great. Great time. I think the Oak Ridge Boys was still
that was
up
the
there.
Highlight.
You nailed it.
Yeah. We still have a lot to cover, so please join us next time as we continue our conversation with Captain Robert Purdy. Until then, stay safe, Kentucky, and buckle up.